Bing, bang, boom. Put down them controllers, kiddos. We're back for another episode of Broken Embargo. For the week of sometime in February.
End of February.
Whatever. See, this is why it's easier to do just episode numbers.
Stupid short month.
Why is this easier?
Well, because we don't know when this is going to go out.
Yeah, we do.
It's going to go out February 22nd.
Are you sure about that? Like, what if something happens?
And then it doesn't go out. The past 2 weeks, it's gone out on February 22nd. Or not February 22nd.
For the past 2 weeks, it's gone out on the same day?
For the past 2 weeks, it's gone out on Tuesday.
Yeah, Dan's actually been keeping
it up. This is our February 22nd episode, then. And if it's not, you can blame Dan.
We can't guarantee you'll listen to it on February 22nd.
It'll be done on February 22nd.
But it's when it was birthed.
But it's out.
Yeah.
That way it gives it, like, it's the magic. We don't like to break the fourth wall here.
I'm all about breaking the fourth wall.
Time for a break. Oh, it was a great break. Anyway, we are all here. Dan, myself, Eric, and Caleb back for another wondrous week. We actually have some people that have interacted with us besides Murgatroyd, which is surprising.
Gonna toss him aside like a wet towel.
And all, yeah, forget him now.
I'm kidding.
No, we'd never do that.
No, but we actually, this week, ever since we mentioned, you know, that there was that button there, we had about 20 people in the last few days since the podcast went out to hit the button.
So we had 20 people that listened to us. 20
people that were willing to get onto the site and
do that.
Click the button.
Or it was just Murgatroyd clicking 20 times to make us feel better, in which case we still thank you, Murgatroyd.
And we did get an email, and I do want to read this one right now.
Let's do it.
Get this out of the way, because it
made me laugh. Is this an actual email, or is this like the spam email you tried to read last time?
You know, this isn't a spam. It starts, "Hey, Broken Embargo, I listen regularly but don't often write in. Just wanted to let you know that not all your Asian downloads are crawlers. Me and my friends are listening every week. Bill."
Hey.
That was
okay.
That.
So that's it, huh?
That's cool.
But hey, I appreciate it.
Yeah, now we don't know what to think when we see all those downloads over.
Sweet. So we could, like, wear those shirts that say, "I'm big in Japan," and actually mean it.
What shirts are these?
They say, "I'm big in Japan."
Yeah.
I've never seen one of these shirts.
They're on, like, ThinkGeek or Jinx or something.
He's looking.
I'm fine. This is, like, the bad...
I like how the first answer is Yahoo Answers. "Hey, my friend recently bought a shirt, Dat, D-A-T, says, 'I'm big in Japan.' This was because, B-E-C-O-Z, of her obsession with Japan. But we then began to wonder exactly what da shirt meant. Any-on?"
Anyway.
Yeah.
No. So, but, yeah, that's kind of weird. Kind of awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know. Well, thanks, Bill, and your buddy. Right? It was him and his buddy that listened, right?
His friends. Friends. Plural.
Friends.
Plural.
So he has like 200 friends that listen to us.
Awesome.
So Caleb, if there's one, you know, ethnicity we don't want to offend.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think I personally
have ever... You need to back off on that.
Putting words in my mouth. Racist.
Alright, so one person that does keep coming back every week.
Since the beginning.
Unknown reasons. Is Murgatroyd. So let's see what he had to say about last week's show.
Murgatroyd!
I think Dan just doesn't want you on the server, Caleb.
Which is not true, because I actually did get him on. He hasn't played since, just because he's been busy.
Yeah. No, I...
But, like, I walked you around. It's a pretty good server.
It's an impressive server, definitely. I mean, you got the whole fairy fountain with the... There's pads on the way in that you step on them and they make the theme and stuff.
Now, this is the Herobrine server or whatever?
I didn't see Herobrine.
This was... No, we took off the Herobrine because it was crashing the server.
Aw.
So this is just
I explained this on the last.
Yeah,
episode.
Yeah. This is the.
I wasn't paying attention.
It's really big. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Apparently, someone stole the mountain that I was going to build on. But you snooze, you lose. That's
I mean, I sent you the image. Like the area I showed you was like maybe a quarter of the entire thing. Like it's huge.
It's pretty spread out. There's a lot of people.
I just made a I just went in and made a new world single player wise. It had a pretty cool mountain on it.
Yeah,
that's great. Derek.
You know what, Dan? Maybe you should like actually play single player.
I made a mountain. I had a randomly generated mountain. It was pretty cool.
You know, I was. I can't wait to build something on it.
Well, we do have some cool stuff on there. The commands are, you know, the item giving is a little bit more complicated than it was on your server, Caleb. But it still works.
Yeah, because you can't type in the real names and stuff. You have to look up a reference. But I mean, you get a trade off. You can do /day and /night. So. Right.
Nice. A lot of simple commands. There's warps. You can set up a warp at any point, and you can just name it whatever. We have like minecart mods where like when a minecart track goes over a gold block, it boosts the cart forward, or like when it goes over like a wood block, it slows down the cart a bit. So you can make like we have tons of rails going on that'll take you to far points in the map.
That's pretty cool.
It's great.
That's pretty cool. I want to get on the server.
Nope.
You shut up.
I can.
Caleb, you are our guest.
And if you do this...
And let me tell you something, Caleb, alright? I'm okay with you, but when Eric comes in and he starts blowing everything up and setting TNT all over the place...
I don't think Eric would do that.
This coming from the guy the one who wrote penis on top of the mountain.
And we had to spend an hour stopping you from destroying the airship.
Those were the days.
Those were the good old days.
2 months ago, jeez.
It was great because you had it set up so that way it would take a picture of the server from top down view, you know, for Murgatroyd because he doesn't play. And so what I thought was, there's a really big mountain that's like the home base, and on top it's just flat. So on top I wrote in big gold blocks the word penis. So that way when Caleb took the server image, it would come up on the image.
And the server image takes a good 2-3 hours to build, and then another 3 hours to put up on the server. And I didn't notice it until I put it up on the server.
Oh, come on, it was pretty funny.
It was funny, but it was frustrating at the time.
It was something else.
What else did Murgatroyd have to say?
Hold on here. Although I'm not very interested in Move right now, I do agree that it benefits from having mostly games that are simply compatible with the Move instead of being exclusive like the Kinect games. I'm really surprised by the lack of Microsoft support for Kinect. It needs some Seaman and Black and White.
Black and White would be interesting on the Kinect.
Wait, like that old game Black and White where you were the monkey or whatever?
Yeah, well, you were God controlling a monkey.
God. Oh. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah,
I sort of get the point where it's like, you know, a lot of games are compatible with Move, but it has to have like the good compatibility. Like, I mean, there are going to be some good Kinect exclusive games coming out. Like, I have faith that Gunstringer is going to be great.
Yeah, but that's like the only thing we've heard about.
Well, I think a lot of them from both sides, it's going to be stored up for E3, and that's only in like 3 months now. So,
true.
I mean, unfortunately, that's when maybe we'll hear some stuff at GDC, but, you know, I highly doubt that.
They need to blow things away. Yeah, there could be something at PAX.
Oh, yeah. Possibly.
Because they had a pretty good booth last year. From what I remember.
Who did?
Microsoft. I mean, they had Crackdown 2.
That was Microsoft sponsored.
Bunch of
and the Xbox indie
Xbox
stuff.
Arcade games.
No, I was just thinking about Kinect. You know.
They didn't have Kinect at all there.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were there last time. I'm sure they'll be there this time too.
Oh yeah. Got my badge in the mail this week.
It's
amazing. They released their PAX train thing. I might take
PAX.
Yeah, like the PAX Train Coalition, like you can get up with other people.
Yeah, the PAX East Train Alliance. Yeah, I'm gonna be on that.
Oh, I'm so taking the train. If they're doing that for PAX Prime, I'm taking the train. No question.
They usually always do that.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Just go on to PAX forums. You find the thread pretty easily.
Are you what? You're going to?
No, Prime. I'm talking about not Ease.
Oh, I was about to say. I'm like, yeah.
No.
Well, I don't even know if I'll be able.
So is Saturday. So.
I might be able to go to Prime, probably not, but definitely one next year I'll be able to go to.
Yeah, I'm saving for Prime at the moment, and a couple friends from Michigan are going to go with me, too, so.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to go, hopefully, as an enforcer, too, so that'd be sweet. Dan, I'm surprised you didn't sign up for that.
I
did.
He had a choice.
I was accepted. But I made the choice that instead of volunteering all of my time during the weekend, because I also am doing the merch for Paul and Storm.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, do I do both and then, like, I guess pull a Robert Koo? Or do I just sort of, like, do I do my own thing and then, like, spend most of my time helping Paul and Storm? And I chose that option. I thought enforcing would be pretty cool, but, you know, maybe next time. I didn't want to overwork myself. Because I'm involved with a lot of community events this time.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, they got the PAX Pokemon League, the PAX Prank. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Have you guys tried... Go ahead.
I'm just saying, I'd love to be able to go there for... Because it sounds like, from what I've heard as an enforcer, or other enforcers say, it's like the coolest shit ever.
Well, I mean that they have their own exclusive room. They help out. It's I would love to, because I feel like PAX is like an incredible event, and I would love to help out in any way I can. But it's like, yeah, I'm helping out my own way, Paul and Storm.
Yeah,
you're being
back to Murgatroyd.
Wait, who's he?
We're friends with Bill now.
Bill, we're in Bill's comments. Have you guys tried Dead Space 2 multiplayer yet?
No.
I hate it when multiplayer is just tacked on the games, but this one actually seems like it would benefit from co-op.
Multiplayer tacked on the games. BioShock? What?
I think it's kind of tacked onto Dead Space 2.
Is it? I haven't tried it.
I haven't played it.
I've heard
just
people
looks...
say that it's not bad.
Yeah. Well, for one thing, it uses the EA Pass crap. And for some reason,
yeah,
I don't know
if
I got that in the version from Gamefly. I'm going to have to look.
Probably
so
not.
I don't know if I can play it online right now, but I didn't try it out.
I just got the old game from Walmart.
Yeah. Who's got a wrapper? Stop it.
Eric.
Stop that.
See, it's Eric. When something goes on longer than it should, you know it's Eric.
That was much longer than it should.
Now, co-op, I think, would be cool. But,
Yeah.
But I don't know about the multiplayer. I mean, I know the multiplayer won't even last.
Yeah, the multiplayer, I mean, is kind of co-op because it's the team-based Necromorphs versus Engineers.
Yeah.
But...
Eternal Sonata was fantastic. I love that game. That's what I heard. I think I remember playing the demo back in the day, but I never got around to playing the actual game.
Yeah, I played the first, like, 5 hours, and it was fun. But it wasn't mine. But I have it now, because my sister's here.
Well, there you go. Nothing but hatred spews from Caleb's mouth.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Keep believing it.
You are kind of a racist bastard.
Yep,
seriously.
You guys are.
And sexist.
Mm-hmm. Yar.
So sad, I thought you would like Evan Hawkins more. I know it's not the best hardcore game out there, but I really enjoyed it. Also don't usually play a lot of games like Super Meat Boy, I Want to Be the Guy. Yeah, I mean, Evan Hawkins, it's good in its own way. It really is. And maybe I just wasn't in the right mindset for it, but it doesn't remind me... I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, it's fun in the fact that, you know, it's a challenge, and it's sort of like a puzzle getting through each level. But at the same time, I don't feel the compassion to play it as much as I do like Super Meat Boy, you know?
Yeah.
But on the other end of the spectrum, it's a dollar, so.
It's true. And you can just try it out too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nice. I think I've been to Kotaku maybe 5 times, but I agree the design is shit. I don't know what the hell they were thinking.
I still don't know what they're thinking.
I'm amazed that it's still, like, it hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
I visited it less and less over the last, and let me see if I can pull up this story, because I believe TechCrunch actually did the numbers. First off, if you want to fix the Kotaku layoff scheme, just go to ca.kotaku.com. That's the Canada version. You get all the same stories, just as the old way it used to be.
Yeah, but I need to find out if I can change my my RSS to subscribe to the CA site, and if that brings me to a different site. Because if that's the case, I'll do that, just, you know, so I don't act. I keep clicking Kotaku links like, oh, wait a second. This is going
to
suck.
Yeah, it's like, I keep trying to, I'm glad that my scroll works now on the site, but, like,
it's
even still,
yeah.
It's disgusting.
Let's see.
I think that's all they're doing, though, is they're just gonna make people get used to it.
Yep.
Which is sad. To be honest, I'm kind of glad to hear about Guitar Hero, because they ran that franchise into the ground after Guitar Hero 3.
It
very true.
Started with Guitar Hero 3, though.
It's just never been the same, and they knew it, but I have to say that Harmonix is just as guilty of releasing a lot of unnecessary add-ons for Rock Band. They keep coming out with these stupid track packs that can only be bought on disc.
No.
Metal, AC/DC, Country, Country 2, etc. They're cheaper, but still...
Those are collections of Rock Band Network songs for people who don't have internet, and they're released on the Wii because they don't have as much DLC on there. So that's not at all the same.
Yeah.
That's like buying a track pack on disc.
No.
So, I found a story.
What's that?
About Gawker. And TechCrunch did a little thing where they looked at the stats. And looking over the daily page views for Gawker.com, the main site, you know, up at around 600,000 views every day. And as soon as that redesign hit, it plummeted down to 200,000.
Wow.
Well, I saw somebody mention that, but it has to do with something like, because the, I think because the site doesn't refresh or something, isn't that it?
Yeah, that might have
somebody. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like because the way the site works now, it's not taking each page as a view. Like it's just counting each individual person.
Really?
It's something weird like that. But
that's change it back, okay?
Yeah, they really should though.
Yep.
It really sucks that going to college doesn't guarantee you a job anymore. Yes, it does. I should have just gone to Burger King instead of school.
Which makes me wonder, Murgatroyd, where do you work? Because I feel like you told me a very long time ago, but I just don't remember.
I think you did. No, I don't remember where he works either.
Well, if you could let us know.
Out of curiosity, have any of you guys bothered to try Mindjacker? Every review I see makes this out to be one of the worst games ever, and I just don't see it. It has a few flaws, but this is some of the most fun I've ever seen with an online game. I feel like I must not be playing the same game as everyone else because I've not heard anything positive about it, but I'm having a blast.
Well, you also have bad taste,
It got a lot of marketing. It was really weird. Looks like one of those games, like it's a third-person shooter that would be fun to play through as a rental. I just haven't had the time to check
it out.
It's
on my Gamefly, so, I mean, whenever I get it. But, I mean, that's the thing. That's all I've seen, though, too, is that it's just not that good. I actually have a friend at work that said I should get Two Worlds 2.
A lot of people are saying Two Worlds 2 is actually kind of decent.
Yeah,
but
all the reviews are saying that it's subpar.
Yeah, I mean, but you gotta wonder, like, does it have to be super awesome? Like, you think of some of the games we loved back in the day, were they really that great? I look at Two Worlds 2, and it looks pretty fun.
I haven't even looked into Two Worlds 2, I've just seen reviews. Yeah. But my buddy says, like, I absolutely have to get into it. I'm more excited for Skyrim, though.
Well,
obviously.
Duh. That's kind of a given.
Also, I'm going to check out that Reality is Broken book, but that whole thing about why we play games sounds like rubbish to me.
Thank you for a green.
Based on what I've heard so far, it sounds like she doesn't understand the key differences between reality and simulation and why it is so much easier to enjoy even the most menial of tasks in a virtual setting. I say the joy of playing games is much less about a desire for hard work and more about productivity. Semantics, I know. It doesn't matter if the work is hard or not. People just want to feel like they are being productive and accomplishing something, which doesn't always have to be a challenge. I do agree completely that it's different when you have to do the work, but she makes it sound like any work you choose for yourself will lead to joy. I just read an excerpt from Gama Sutra, and the most compelling thought I got from it was, we enjoy games because we think they're fun. Still, I'll give the book a chance because I'm genuinely interested, although I already find her to be disgustingly optimistic.
He said exactly what I wanted to say last week, pretty much.
And maybe that's because I did a bad job.
That's what I was thinking. When I was thinking of this the other night, I'm like, maybe Dan just sucked.
Maybe Dan
explaining
just can't
the
talk
whole
about
theory.
That's because
ever.
That's exactly it. Like I can't explain the theory for. I can't explain everything about the book to you. You just have to read it.
Well, I'm gonna look it up and read it.
That, and I realize how stupid that sounds, but
that
I mean, no.
Argument could be applied to like the Twilight series. Like I know when I explain it, it sounds bad, but you really got to read it.
No,
I'm not going to go read Twilight.
But this is an idea. This isn't a fucking book about like sparkly vampires and shit. This isn't a love story or whatever. This is like a theory about games and design and how they can better. This is a sociological and philosophical book, and it's not something that you can easily explain without losing some of that the writer's viewpoint.
Well, I think
it's that can't pass along the theory perfectly.
Yeah.
And so you just have to really read. You have to trust me on this one. It is good. I just do a bad job of explaining things.
Well, I think since she's talking at PAX East, I'm more liable to give her a chance and check it out.
Which also, the interesting thing I saw was that a lot of people are going to go to the Xbox tweet-up instead of the speaker.
Why?
Because they don't... I don't know. It's a little shocking to me. Like, I'm just sort of like, well, I think she will have great things to say.
She will, I'm sure, but I mean, it's,
They should live stream it.
Honestly, it's not that I have nothing against her, but it's like, the first year it was Will Wheaton. Everybody knows who Will Wheaton is. Of course they're going to go over that.
Yeah.
Not everybody knows who this chick is. So they'd probably rather go
see
Major Nelson at the tweet up.
It'd be interesting to see who went to, like, Ron Gilbert.
Ron Gilbert was...
Because I didn't go to Ron Gilbert.
I watched because that was on the DVD, right? Yeah.
Yes.
That was great.
How was that?
I liked it. It was good.
You know who went to Scott Pilgrim? Or not Scott Pilgrim, Scott Kurtz.
Scott Kurtz.
I did.
Yeah.
And I went to Scott Pilgrim, too, but that's besides the point. they're actually
last
doing...
comment. You don't have to read that big cynical paragraph on the podcast. I didn't realize at the time how much I had written.
Well, we did, just for you, because you validated me.
Yeah, that too.
It takes us 20 minutes to go through Murgatroyd comments.
What do you mean it doesn't take us 20 minutes? Hey, we've been recording for 20 minutes.
Oh, crap.
this year at PAX East, Dan, since you're going, you have to go to the Scott Kurtz
panel. It is a requirement.
It's him and
bring a video camera.
And Chris Straub, I believe.
That's the thing. I'm not going to be able to make it.
What?
Blasphemy.
Because it's going to be during the Paul and Storm concert.
Oh, well, God. Oh. Dang.
And that's where you fail.
Oh, yeah, that's where I fail. Okay.
Well, get a friend. Give him a camera. Bring it up there. Ba-boom.
I'm sure to
do that. I'm sure, yeah. God, that was absolutely hilarious. Best 3 hours of my life.
It didn't feel like 3 hours either.
No, it didn't. And this one's only supposed to be an hour on Saturday.
After Hours with Chris and Scott.
Scott and Chris. That was on. Did you guys see that? No, we talked about that, didn't we? The Penny Arcade one where they take over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, they're touching the walls going like, oh, I care about everything so much. That was hilarious. Anyway. Let's jump into what's been going on this week. What we've been doing.
What happened?
Me?
Well, I didn't say you. I said we, but okay.
We've been doing a lot.
Bastard.
Yeah, because I don't care about you. What have you been doing, Dan? Let's open it up strong, huh?
Wow. So, for Valentine's Day, my girlfriend got me... First off, she made me fudge, which was awesome. She made me, it's, like, really, like, thick fudge with, like, pink and white M&M's in it. It's really, really good. And then a Scott Pilgrim poster. And then Toy Story 3, the game. Which... Caleb's mixed reactions already.
Opening up strong.
I know, right? But no, I've been playing Toy Story 3 this week, and I kind of like it. Like, there's something about it. I mean, there's two modes to it, really. There's the main story mode, and then there's the toy box mode that they, like, heavily advertised the shit out of. And, I mean, the main story mode could use a lot of work. Like, it does not go over every event in the store in the main movie. Like, I don't know if you guys ever played Toy Story 2.
Nope.
The game?
No.
Toy Story, no.
Obviously you have.
Because it's a good game.
Wait. On PS1?
Yes.
Yes, I definitely did play it. It was good.
It's a great game. Like, Eric, you're knocking it, but, like, it's a great, great platformer. It's a hard platformer, too,
yeah.
But it's really good.
Now I remember specific levels in that game. It was awesome.
Exactly. Like, the Toy Barn, there was the... there were so many good levels to that.
Yeah.
There was the boss fight in the alley against the sludge. You played as Buzz in Toy Story 2. Mm-hmm. And you went through, like, sort of the main, like, events in the movie, and at the same time it had, like, all these collectible things. It was sort of set up like Mario 64 Banjo-Kazooie-style thing, where it's, like, you know, collect as much as you can. Whereas to this one, it's, like, select levels, like, just chunks of levels from the game, where it's, from the movie, rather, where you start off in Andy's room, and you're actually doing how to get the phone that starts the movie. Like how they call Andy's cell phone. So it's like a mission involving getting the phone, and then there's one like going through the Sunnyside daycare. And there's none of them are things that actually happen in the movie, but there are things that they talk about. And the levels are very, very simple and short, and you could probably beat the main storyline in 3 hours, which is great for kids. And I think this is definitely a game that like a kid could play nonstop. But I have to play a few levels and then just take a break of it. Like, it gets a little monotonous at times. There's actually a great level, though, where you play through the Buzz mission from Toy Story 2, where it's like the opening of Toy Story 2 where Buzz is flying through outer space and he lands on Zurg's fortress. You play through that whole thing. And, like, it's a great, great level. But one thing I noticed was there was a section involving a puzzle where it's like the bridge of discs that when he jumps on a few, they all fall.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that, only the discs are four different colors, and when you touch one color, all of that color lights up and all that color falls down. So the bridge disappears in chunks, and you have to figure out how to get across it. And, it involves jumping, and I died a couple times. I died once, died twice, died a third time, and then a little, like, thing pops up and just says, having trouble? Try it now. And I look at the bridge, and it's all different. And there's, like, one less color, and there's a disc in the middle that will stay there the whole time, and it's like, I didn't choose that.
Oh, man, no, that's something that pisses me off about games. Dead Space 2 does that.
Really?
There was one place that I kept dying in, because there was, like, just one too many enemies, and then I came through it, the 50th time, and one of the enemies didn't spawn, or at least two of the enemies didn't spawn. And I hate it when games do that to me. Like, I was having fun with it, but I was failing. And they said, oh, you suck. Let's take some stuff out of here so you can actually make it through. But a lot more games do that than you even realize.
Like, that's insane. Like, I mean, Toy Story 3 it tells you right off the bat, having trouble? Try it now. And I felt...
Well, right, and I get that, but, like, after the 50th time...
Well, it
like,
wasn't that. I was exaggerating. It was, like, the 5th.
I was going to say, because, like,
I wasn't feeling that hardcore.
The game also has the toy box mode, which is actually, I would have been spending more of my time in. And it's not like, they kind of advertised it like it was Halo's Forge, where it's like, oh, you're just playing with toys, and oh my god, it's like you're Andy, and you're a kid all over again.
Yeah.
Like, but it's not really that. It's more like, here's a giant open world in a canyon, and here's all these quests, Like, here's some ways to get coins. Here, you can build a bank. Now the townspeople can do this stuff here. You can customize your townspeople. You can explore. You can go find unlockable things, because there are little capsules that'll unlock that have, like, different Pixar-related stuff in them. Like, a syndrome from The Incredibles costume for, like, your townspeople. Or, you know, a Finding Nemo building. And so you can do it. There's a lot of platforming in there. There's a lot of races. Toy Box mode is definitely, like, where you're going to be spending most of your time if you do pick up Toy Story 3.
There's a lot of racists.
Racing.
Oh.
Racing. No, there's not. It's not a town of Caleb's. But it's a fun game. I'm surprised at how good it is for a movie-related game. It's not as good as Toy Story 2, the game was, though. And it makes me really want to replay Toy Story 2.
Just thinking like, about really it, yeah, I kind of want to pop it back in, but I don't think I have
it. Like, wasn't that such a good game?
It was. I remember playing it a lot.
Oh, my God. Eric, that's your homework for this week.
Go find it.
Yeah. We know how well homework goes over this group.
You gotta find an emulator, and then you gotta download the ROM. And then yeah. I'll send you a copy in the mail, so that way it's not illegal.
Well, technically they're not selling it officially right now, so it isn't illegal. But
so, Eric, what have you been playing this week?
Me? I've been playing a few things this week. Right off the bat, I guess the biggest thing is Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which came out on Tuesday, and Caleb hasn't gotten it because he's lame. Because
Best Buy is lame.
Because he's lame.
But, yeah, like, it's everything I wanted. And it's really kind of simpler, which I like. They have, like, this... two different control layouts. They have normal and they have simple. And simple is like there's a button for attacks, there's a button for super attacks, and there's a button for your ultra combos. You know, so basically you can button mash away and, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But then even the normal layout is very simplified in that instead of having like kicks and punches and having different variations of those, you just have low, medium, and high attacks.
Yeah.
And then everybody's move set is pretty much the same move. Like, it's down to forward and then different attacks.
Yeah, that's kind of how Blue was, too.
Right. But, you know, just because they're all the same doesn't mean that they play the same, and obviously it takes, you know, a certain finesse to master each character. But... you know, like, it's a lot of fun to be able to start the game and go in and just, you know, make all sorts of crazy stuff happen on the screen and just be like, wow, you know, I wasn't expecting that, you know. I pile-drive Mike Hagar as Mike Hagar and the universe exploded.
So how does it compare to, like, Street Fighter?
It's not Street Fighter. I mean, it's... to compare it to Simpler? Street Fighter, to compare it to Soul Calibur, really you want to compare it to, like, Guilty Gear or Blaze Blue, in that it's one of those flashy-type games where, you know, you're supposed to do 100, you know, 500-hit combos and it only takes a quarter of the life bar away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it definitely, it looks really good. It has, like, this pretty good mix between like it kind of looks like a comic, but then it kind of looks like a really good video game at the same time, you know. And the characters that are in it are just really good. I mean, obviously there's, you know, gonna be the ones that people wanted that aren't in there, but Phoenix is in there.
Oh, he is.
Oh, Phoenix Wright is not in there, but Phoenix from the X-Men is in there.
Oh, who gives a fuck?
I give a fuck.
Well, I don't care if you give a fuck.
But, like, there's a lot, you know, and I think that the reason that, like, Phoenix Wright isn't in the game is, like, you wouldn't, like, what the hell moves would he have?
Objection.
Yeah, think about it. Think about it. He could be a good fighter.
Like, he'd point at people.
Yeah. But it'd be like Jigglypuff's rest in Smash, where it's like, if you hit it at just the right time, there you go.
Yeah, but like, you have to hit it at the right time, otherwise Jigglypuff is just is crap.
So, I don't like fighting games. Like, well, I don't mind fighting games. Like, I've been playing Street Fighter 4 on my iPod.
Yeah.
And it's like, I need to set it to easy in order to, like, get it. Like, in order to actually be able to win, I guess you could say.
Well, and, you see, and then that's why they have the simple control scheme. Like, I mean, there's I use both because, you know, I'll try to master some of the more complex attacks or whatever. But, you know, there's times where I just want to sit down and button mash, and I can do that with that.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's kind of cool to see, like, all these combos happening and be like, whoa, that happened.
So is it, like, a good introductory fighting game, I guess you could say? Like, I mean, I'm looking for something that'll, like, get me into fighting games.
I think into that type of fighting games, because really there's, like, a lot of different kinds.
Yeah.
If you think about it, like, you know, Street Fighter obviously is, like, its own kind of 2D fighting genre, but then you have, like, the 3D fighting games, like Soul Calibur, and then you have, like, complex technical fighting games, like Virtual Fighter.
Oh, yeah. Virtual Fighter is definitely, you know, there's not your entry game.
Yeah, there's, like, there's a lot of different things, but, you know, I would say that it's still a pretty good intro fighting game. Like, I think enough people get joy out of playing
it. Yeah, and it rides off the brand recognition, too. Like, I would say Blaze Blue, because Blaze Blue is really easy to pick up, but it doesn't have that kind of recognition that Marvel vs.
Right,
Capcom
exactly.
Has.
Like, there's a funness in having, you know, Wolverine fighting, you know, Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins.
And Dante. Right.
So, I think it does. I think that would be a good game to check out. I dig it anyway.
Yeah, I'd
so,
pick it up tomorrow, hopefully.
And then, aside from that, I got Brutal Legend in the mail from Gamefly today, and I don't know why I didn't play this game earlier.
No, neither. It's a good game.
It is. It's a really good game. And I remember playing the demo and thinking that it was really good, but I never got around to getting it, and I don't know why. But yeah, that's an awesome game. And then Steam is having this Square Enix sale for whatever reason.
Yeah, you just have to have a sale.
And yeah, and they had Just Cause 2 on sale for $7.50.
That actually reminds me. Did you guys see the video this week of Gabe Newell talking to this group of high school students?
I saw the story. I didn't
It's actually a really good interview. The kids do ask some good questions, and like just talking about like profits and all this stuff and why Steam does all these like random sales is because like they drop like TF2 to 75%. Like they say, you know, you ask the consumer what they would do, and what they actually do is different. And it's like, you drop it down to 75%, and not only do people buy it, their profits increase by a factor of 40, like 40 times over the profits normally gotten from just regular sales of TF2. Like, so that's why they do all these sales, is because when they drop a price, it is a guaranteed, like, increase in profits for that company. Like,
oh,
no matter
yeah.
what.
Most sales like that are like that, too. I mean, that's a simple business concept.
Even stuff like the sales that they had going on this week, like, all the Square Enix stuff was ridiculously cheap.
Yeah, no, I
for, like, the entire collection.
I was seriously considering that $75 for the whole thing. Because, I mean, that seems to me really like a good deal. But I don't know. I mean, I
don't know that you would play all of those games is the thing. That was the same thing when I bought the QuakeCon pack. Like I haven't touched any of those games.
Yeah. No, I did pick up the PC version of Final Fantasy XI through Steam though. Just so I had it.
But
through
Steam. Like that's the thing, is there's like, you know, there's like two or three of the games that I'd probably play, but like I didn't end up getting, but it was like what, $80 for the pack that was worth like $600. Yep. Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy awesome.
So you got Just Cause 2.
So I got Just Cause 2 because, like, I remember Caleb saying that it was the best game ever.
I don't know if I ever use those words exactly. I really enjoyed it. It's like, if I don't know what to play, I'll sit down and play Just Cause 2.
You did, and then you talked about black people. But anyway, he was really ranting on about how it was. And when I played the demo, I just, you know, I wasn't feeling it. And I think, like, I just realized that I'm not, like, a huge fan of open world games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I eventually get bored with them. I need, like, the direction in games. Like, more than just, like, go here, do this, and then we'll eventually unlock more of the story.
Well, with Just Cause 2, there's so many races and stuff. Like, that stuff is enough to keep me interested in. Like, when I'm just wandering around, the direction I have is, oh, there's, like, 5 races over here I have to do. Well, I'll do this one. It took me across the whole map. Oh, crap, there's 10 races over here I have to do. Let's do that one.
Well, right, but, like, that, like, there's no, like, sustenance to that. It's just there.
Yeah. You know?
And for there, too, which is probably another reason why I didn't like it, is that you have to do those things to unlock more of the main story.
Okay. To me, it happens naturally, though, so I don't see that as an issue. Like, I'm just flying around anyways. Why not do it in a race style, and then I get money and unlock the thing? And I just like the mechanics of it. Did you get a jet?
I did not get a jet.
You don't know the power of that game yet.
Well, I mean, like, the physics bending stuff and being able to destroy everything and hook things onto other things, that's all well and cool, but it's just, you know, I get bored with it.
I'm in awe of the technology, too, because, like, you can be on the ground 1 second, get in a high-powered jet and rocket up to the sky, and all of a sudden you're on this, you see this entire world that you can go anywhere you can see. And it's just the level of detail stuff they're using is witchcraft. To my mind. Like, I don't know how they're doing it.
So, I mean, I dug that. Yeah. Like, that's all well and cool, but, like, you know, after a while, it's like, okay, why don't we get on with the story? I want to find out who this dude is.
I don't care at all. That's the difference. That's why I rave about it. It's like, it's a fun sandbox.
Well, I think it's, like, because, like, when it started, you know, it says, okay, this is why we're here, this is why we're doing it, whereas, like, Minecraft, which I still play, you know, doesn't give you a story. It's just like, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, I think if it would have just started out like kind of like Grand Theft Auto, or it didn't give you a whole lot of story right away, you know, I was like more okay with that, and I played it for longer. Eventually, I had to go to the story and actually play because I got bored with it, but, you know, I think I was able to last longer with that game.
Yeah.
But, other than that, we have the Minecraft experiment, which is going on live right now.
You're building it right now?
Yes, I am. Well, I'm not doing the mine shafts. Those aren't going to work.
Oh, no?
No, they only do 3x3, and it takes a 7x7 square to
build it. Oh, okay, yeah, that's kind of pointless. So you're just going around digging everything.
I'm just digging right now. But so I don't know how or why, but I came across this video of this explosion in Minecraft where somebody dug a hole that was 40 squares deep.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And filled it with TNT to the top. It was like something like 5,000 blocks of TNT. And then, like, set up a little platform up on top, set it off, and just, I think he said it took like 2 hours for the explosion to complete.
No, 10 minutes.
Oh, it took 2 hours to build, 10 minutes for the explosion to get done. But, like, just watching it, like, it would just section itself off and just kind of keep going.
It makes such an...
Like, at the end, it was this huge cavern.
Yeah, the hole that it makes is epic. And that, I mean, it's being built right to the, like, the north of Alexander right now on our server. And I'm hoping none of that explosion, like, somehow spills over.
Oh, well. Well, you're going to have to, like, back up the server before we do it anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm backing it up. And
we did it on our server. Like, I came in... I just came in one night, and, like, the two main, you know, admins of the server, like, everything was running really slow, and they were, like, typing in all caps in the chat, freaking out about what they had done, and I teleport to them. And they had set up this huge area of TNT, like 20,000 blocks of TNT. And they lit it all off. And not only did it crash the server, they built, it like created a new ocean where, yeah. where all this land yeah. used to be. It created, they needed to dam it up. That's how bad it was. And not only that, it has since, it has like permanently damaged the server. Like,
it's still processing everything.
Exactly. It's like, what the hell did you guys think was going to happen? Because now all there's all this water flow going in all these different directions. There's like this network of like underwater caves going on because of all this TNT that went off.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I saw another video where, like, somebody put that all, like, across one of the oceans or the lakes or whatever. And then, like, when it all got done, it was, like, the water wouldn't even flow right.
Right, it would just be, like, an open, like, it would be yeah, like Moses like parting the Red Sea.
Parting the Red Sea, yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. we're hoping for some sweet action.
I'll have
here.
The process manager up.
Is that your way of killing, like, saying goodbye to the server?
Well, I never go on to Caleb's server anymore. Nobody does.
Yeah, and I don't have it running because I'm coding all the time, and I don't need
it. So that's
the,
our way of sending it off?
I guess.
So we're going to do this, and then maybe I'll get into, like, somebody else's server and cause chaos.
Dan's server's pretty awesome.
See, like, he says cause chaos, and, like, that's, yeah, that's a great pitch.
Oh, whatever. Like, you can't talk. Like, you're all worried about it, but it's like, that's what you did when you first went into Caleb's yeah. server.
No, I caused little fun. I caused fixable fun.
Yeah, but, like, the little fun is harder to see.
I'm not going
to
make a 40 by 40 hole with TNT and blow it up.
I think that's what you're going to do.
I mean, eventually.
Yeah, see?
But that won't be for, like, months and months and months.
Yeah, so let him in now.
So you're going to let me in now?
No!
Yes! Caleb's going to let me in now.
No! Because then you're both going to get banned.
He could get it from an anonymous source.
Or, you know what? No, Caleb, why don't you talk about what you've been playing while I go on to AIM real quick?
Are you seriously going to be like, no, don't invite these people at all?
Caleb, what have you been playing?
Well, I restarted Tales of Vesperia today.
You're that worried about it. That's funny.
I've been playing
Tales of Vesperia.
Yeah, no, I restarted that on Xbox. Got the like JRPG itch again for some reason. And I really want to go back and play Final Fantasy VII, but I know it sucks. So I don't want to touch it. Like, I just I don't even need a remake of that game right now. I just need a retranslation. Because every time I'm like, oh, I'm going to go play Final Fantasy VII, let's mosey. I'm like, no.
Let's mosey?
Remember that
let's
part? Mosey. It's like Cloud's best line in the game. No, the translation is just so horrid in Final Fantasy VII, so I can't stomach touching it. And that's a shame. But other than that, just been Tales of Vesperia.
Coding away,
trying to get music out of my cousin, and art.
Sweet. Yeah,
the game's almost done.
Oh, that's good. And the website's almost done, too, isn't it?
Yeah, the website hopefully will be finished today. It's going to launch next weekend. So, deathbychopsticks.com will be back. Yay.
And it will be great. Mm-hmm. So, Dan, how's that public petition to not have me on your server going?
Oh, it's going great.
Yeah?
It's going fantastic.
I find that absolutely hilarious.
I will take every step I need to make sure this doesn't happen.
All right. It's still hilarious to me that you're that worried about it.
Well, anyway. Guess what? Okay, what? You're not on the whitelist, so you can't get in even if you tried. Just found out.
Okay.
So there you go.
Oh, yeah, they'd be put on the white list.
You have to put it on the white list.
I think you should let him in. I don't think he's going to do anything that bad.
Tell you what. Maybe next week, if I feel okay, I will add you to the white list.
You know what? This power's...
I find it hilarious. Like, this is like, I don't want you coming into my home.
This power is going to your head. Does this sound familiar seriously. At all?
This isn't even my power. This isn't even my power. This is... This is me, like, making sure that Eric doesn't come in, because, like, I have separate communities of online friends. Like, you guys had your Onion Knight friends. I don't want Eric coming in and then, like, ruining everything. And then, you know, whose fault is it? It's mine.
You're like, you talk in a British accent on this Minecraft server, don't you?
No!
Like... All right, guys. My name is Steve on this server. Just to let you know.
No, it's Stephanie.
That's funny. That made me laugh. That made my day. Anyway, so apparently I'm not going to get on Dan's server because he doesn't want us to embarrass him on the internet. So,
is he typing?
We're going to take a break.
Is he typing?
Yeah. Dan? I don't know what he's doing. Are you still there?
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, my mic was off. So, if you have like a party and you have your friends from work and your friends from school, and your friends from work piss off your friends from school, and then you don't have your friends from school anymore, they're all going to blame you, not your friends from work. So if you come over to the Minecraft server and you break everything, it's not your fault, it's my fault. And I'm not going to be the one responsible for you digging around. That's not going to happen.
No. It's gonna get on him and be like, I love...
This server
McKinney.
Is awesome. This server is awesome, and Caleb can attest to that, and I'm not going to let you ruin that.
But I have access to it, and see, he trusts me somehow.
Well, yeah, because you're not like, a douche.
Wow.
Yeah, but
thank
he could
you.
Be now that you're making such a big deal
be.
Out of it.
Yeah,
you
but
could, like, go in
you're
and,
not letting
Caleb
my other
have it
into
in
the
his
server.
Heart. Caleb does not have it in his heart to be that guy.
I'd break it and then build it right back up again.
Exactly. Like, you would fix it before anyone notices.
Haha, vengeance.
Let me patch that up here.
So, we're going to have a break.
Yeah.
Yes, Dan's got to cool down a bit.
Break.
That was a good break.
That was a great break.
Still mad.
Dan went out, calmed himself down. I'm sorry. I just it's hilarious.
I don't find it that funny. Because I know you would come in and just blow everything up.
Why would I do that? I didn't blow everything up in Caleb's server.
Well, yeah, so that's Caleb's server. You'd do it to my server.
Why would I do it to your server? Do you think I have, like, some personal vendetta against you?
I think you'd do it just to be a dick to me. I think that's exactly what you'd do.
I can't believe you don't trust me like that. I'm offended. I thought we were pals. We've been hosting this podcast for almost a year now.
Pals. I just don't trust you with my Minecraft server.
It's hilarious.
Anyway, news.
I'm also like half focusing on anybody that cares.
You're digging a hole.
I am digging a hole. It's taking a while.
Oh, you're playing Minecraft, aren't you?
I am. This call is going to take
this
forever.
Is great. You have been playing Minecraft the whole podcast.
I have been. But anyway, we're going to get into the news segment, as we always do after our wonderfully long breaks. Today's news is brought to you by the letter news. Not sure where I was going with that.
Let's talk about news. Come on.
But, whoa. Dan. Slow it down.
Jeez.
Anyway. So, we talked about Age of Empires 3 a few weeks ago.
When it was on sale for 10 cents.
yeah, something like that. And, yeah. And we all agreed that it was a horrible game. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that one of the creators also believes it was a horrible game. Huge mistake is what he used specifically. He said that during development, they wanted to do... Where is that quote? There it is. They wanted to do 30% the same, 30% borrowed, and 30% innovative. Which, for one, only adds up to 90%. And for two, he thinks that they tried too hard with that game, you know, when they pretty much should have gone with the old adage of, if it's not broke, you don't have to fix it.
And around the time it came out, they had that press conference, and they gave out that Age of Empires, like, promo brochure. That was showing all these other different Age of Empires games that could have been. And, like, to see that those are never going to be seen in, you know, the light of Age of Empires 2 was great. And they kind of just...
Well, and then we have Age of Empires Online, which is coming out soon.
Yeah, I haven't looked into that too much.
Which should be good, so... can't talk too much about that, though. But, the creator that said this was Bruce Shelley.
The founder of...
founder of Ensemble Studios, is now working for Zynga on Frontierville, which apparently is, like, a lot of... I looked into it, and a lot of people are saying, like, it's, like, supposed to be an actual fun Zynga game.
It's just like Farmville. I played it a little bit. Yeah,
did you?
It's exactly like Farmville. Just you have to interact with people a lot more, so you have to bug people with notifications a lot more. So,
that. So, Age of Empires 3, kind of disappointing because, you know, it did look really good. Like, I'll give it that. It looked pretty good. Yep. You know, from far away. like, the up-close little cutscenes that they tried to do looked awful, but, like, from far away it looked cool, but the mechanics that it went for were just bad, and they finally admitted it. And then, let's see, we have the cool stuff going on at the Smithsonian. They have set up a website for their new exhibition, The Art of Video Games, which will explore the 40-year evolution of video games as an artistic medium. Starting with you know, early days, moving into 8-bit and so on and so on until we get to what we currently have.
I'm so glad that they're, you know, letting, you know, the internet choose the artistic mediums.
Greatest. There's their site that they have set up. You can sign in and vote for what games and systems you think should be represented in this exhibition. And yeah, that is really cool.
That's also a problem, though. Because there's, like, I mean, I voted. I went through and I voted for categories that I knew. There were some where there was, like, you know, I couldn't really tell. And so you don't have to vote for everything. And when I voted for, based on not which game was better, which game had better art. And, you know, so there were times when I was like, you know, Twilight Princess or Wind... Well, that's a bad one, because Wind Waker's always going to win that one. But, like, you know, I'd vote, like, Jet Set Radio Grind or whatever, you know, instead of something like Twilight Princess. Or, I don't know, there were times where I chose, instead of, like, which game played better, which game looked better. And I feel like that's not always going to be the case. Like, it's going to be more people thinking, oh, this game was much better than this, you know. This is a 10 out of 10 game. This is a 9 out of 10 game. This game should get in.
Yeah, maybe.
I
mean...
I think that's going to be the thing to do.
It could be a thing, but I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing because, you know... I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to see. But
also,
it's still
a lot of
awesome
Zelda
that they're doing it.
Up for vote there. Like, a lot of Zelda games.
So, yeah, that's on artofvideogames.org. I don't know how long the voting is going till.
Not sure. It should be at least a month, because the exhibit, when they put it up, is running until March 2012.
Yeah, so it starts on March 6th. It starts on my birthday. So if you guys want to, like, buy me a ticket to the Smithsonian for my birthday, I'd be okay with that. Anyway.
What am I going to buy you shit for your birthday?
I don't know.
You didn't buy me anything for my birthday.
Why don't you let me into the server for my birthday?
Why didn't you buy me anything for my birthday? How about that?
I let you into Caleb's server.
You didn't let me into Caleb's server. Caleb let me into Caleb's server.
Why don't you let him into the server?
What?
We're going to go back to
listen, Dad.
So, Pokemon Trading Card Game. I don't know about you guys, but I played the heck out of that game for Game Boy.
It was serious.
It was good. Like, it was almost like Pokemon serious. And that's saying something, because it's a Pokemon game. Well, they're finally moving into the cyberspace realm with this game. And the Pokemon Company International is going to bring the competition online in the Pokemon Trainer Challenge. Although I don't know how this is... Oh, the game will launch with 3 pre-constructed decks to play with. Starting April 6th, fans will be able to purchase new pre-constructed decks for Pokemon Black and White.
There you go.
So it's basically going to be like, you know... It'll look a lot better than it did on the Game Boy, obviously, but it's basically going to be that, just online.
Man, I remember blowing $20 at a time on decks of Pokemon cards.
I thought it was up now. That sucks. I just signed up an account.
Stupid bastard.
Well, the website's
Yeah, the website's up, but you can't play on it right now yet.
Or no. Yeah, the game isn't up, and April 6th is when they say they're going to...
Purchase new.
Release the that's when the black and white stuff comes on. So I'm assuming that means that it will be starting
in April. Yeah, it says a trading card game goes virtual this April. So, well, I've got an account, so I'll know when it's up.
So, still cool. I wasn't like when it came to the actual cards. I was more Magic than Pokemon.
I was more.
I haven't played Magic. Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Magic is
Yu-Gi-Oh
tough.
Is where it's at.
Yu-Gi-Oh was fun. Yu-Gi-Oh is still
fun. Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yu-Gi-Oh! The card game is good. The show is dumb.
Yeah, no, don't watch the show. The card game is a lot of strategy,
though. There is a huge amount of strategy in that. I remember some serious games where it came down to the wire, and yeah, it's good.
Magic is big strategy all the time. Like, it's so much strategy in, like, you have to have, like, the perfect deck and the best shuffle in order to get into anywhere.
You know, that's how a lot of my Yu-Gi-Oh decks were set up as.
Yeah.
I've been listening in the car, like, when I drive to school and stuff. Like, I've been listening to the old Penny Arcade D&D podcast.
Nah, I listen to those.
It makes me really want to play D&D.
Yeah.
I know, me too. I wish there was, like, a way you could play, like, D&D online.
Like, but, D&D online?
Well, no, like, not like that, but, like, okay. You know, some type of video conference type thing. Because, like, I don't,
could,
you know.
With stuff like that, but a really good tool for that was, I don't know what other game did it, but Vampire the Masquerade Redemption. The first Vampire PC game, well, the first 3D Vampire PC game. Had a really cool system where one player on the online mode was like a GM and could spawn whatever he wanted, take possession of any character, and it was really? A really good tool for like doing role-playing stuff. And nothing has ever done that that I know of.
Well, like, I want, like, and this, I mean, obviously I could say I want it, and then I should just go make it, but, you know, like, a map on the screen, kind of like what they had set up for the Microsoft Surface. Yeah. Remember that? But, like, just online. And, like, you get people in and, you know, voice chat or video and just play D&D like that. You know, have a dice on the screen so that you don't cheat. Yeah. I think that would be
I think cool. A lot of the D&D stuff, though, is being together with other people, though. So the video chat would have to be there or... I mean, I don't know if just voice would work very well, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. But still, you know, something. Do you think, like, because of, like, all the advances that we've had with, like, video technology and just online social technology, something like that would be around, yeah. But... And maybe they're working on it, I don't know. Anyway, so... Telltale Game. Oh, that's what I forgot to talk about. I'll talk about it next week because I'm playing through the second episode of Back to the Future.
Sweet.
Did you play that?
Back to the Future?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten around to it. I'm trying to. I can't afford it right now.
Who? Somebody played it. I remember, but yeah. We'll talk about it next week. Well, anyway, Telltale has come out saying, like, they are going to be doing a lot of games
this
here in the coming
very
months.
Surprising.
Dude, they have a crap load.
So, and it's awesome. We have Jurassic Park, which, okay.
Yeah. The trailer looked pretty good.
And then we have... The Walking Dead, which I am excited to see.
Yeah.
Just because they've said that, like, it's going to be an episodic, you know, series. Yeah, which is obviously what the show and the comic books are. Mm.
Who's got a rapper?
God damn it, I keep playing with that thing. and then they're also doing Fables, which is a Vertigo comic where it's based in New York, but if, like, fairy tale characters were real.
The other one, they got the license for King's Quest.
Oh, that's right. I remember
that,
saying that.
That, to me, is the biggest.
About that one, too.
Wow.
So they're coming out strong.
Yeah.
Here. And it's just, like, nothing was happening this week. Like, I don't... Was there any conventions or something, or they just decided, you know what, today's a good day?
I think it was...
They were just like, today's a good day.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like it, because that's just what happened. So, yeah. And then one cool thing coming out of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, we're finally going to get some single-player DLC.
Yay. It's pretty massive DLC, too. It's not just single-player stuff.
No, yeah, it's next month, we are getting another pack for DLC called the Da Vinci Disappearance. It will bring 8 new single-player missions, 2 new multiplayer modes, and plenty more. Well, I don't want to know plenty more. New maps, 4 new characters. You know, there's a lot in this game. So, but I think the big thing is it's the first one to contain actual single-player content for the game, because they have promised that they are going to work on that, yeah. I think. So, pretty cool there. The trailer's pretty cool.
There was a trailer? I missed the trailer.
I think it was a trailer, wasn't it?
I don't know. Might have been. I missed it.
Something. So, yeah. And speaking of trailers, like, this week has been, like, there's been a lot of trailers coming out this week.
Mm-hmm.
We got another new trailer for Alice, which I'm super, super excited about.
Yeah, I just wish their trailers for Alice would actually be gameplay. Like, we've seen the screenshots. I want to see that game in motion.
Yeah, because, like, I remember the first one was horrible. Yeah. Like, the game was awesome, but it was horrible at the same time. But we had Alice. There was the Green Lantern game movie.
Movie game.
Which came out, which looks all right. Actually, like, the trailer looks pretty cool, but obviously it's only CGI rather than actual game content. Yeah. But the premise looks pretty cool. And then we have Dead Island, which everybody's been making big fusses about, where it's the trailer is shown, doesn't show any gameplay either. Yep. It's a family basically getting attacked by zombies on some tropical island getaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a few comments about this trailer from Twitter. Dantac said, the trailer appropriately displays a sense of horror and dread not commonly associated with the plucky zombie genre of late. Which I'll agree with. But then Alex, I think, summed it up better. I think this is Alex Jones, said he thought it was brilliant. It adds a much-needed emotional angle to the zombie game genre. About time games caught up with film, television, and literature in that regard. Let's just hope the gameplay delivers on such a level.
I think it's completely unfair to say about time games are caught up with film, television. Because you can say the same thing about the freaking Halo 3 trailer. You can say the same thing about any trailer that's not gameplay.
It's a great, great trailer. Yeah, we're not saying it's a bad trailer. Yeah. It's fantastic. It's
really good. It just doesn't show any game. Yeah, that's the problem.
It's like everyone's raving about how great it is. The game's not... I mean, the game, it could be good, but we don't know. It's not going to match that kind of emotional involvement. There's no way it can, because that's just something... That kind of stuff has to be... crafted. A trailer is crafted to get that emotion, unless they're doing something completely new, you know, that we just have no idea and it blows us away, then yay. But
I mean, what they've said is that it's going to be more melee focused, mm-hmm. or melee, or however you say it, melee focused,
less guns.
So and that's cool, but you know, like, I mean, it's weird, like, this usually you see, like, sources, like, criticizing things like this, you know, this trailer came out, but there's no gameplay in it. Yeah.
Well, when a trailer's, like, good,
and it doesn't have gameplay. The trailer's good, but, like, you know, even when a trailer's good, they're like, well, it doesn't have any gameplay, though. Whereas this one, like, people took off with it.
I think it's because, like, nobody really paid attention to Dead Island before this trailer.
Yeah,
because sort of it, too. Like, this was sort of, like... It was sort of like the re-announcement of this trailer, because we hadn't heard anything from Dead Island till from 2009 or 2008.
Yeah.
So, like, this was, like, sort of re-announcement. Like, hey, we're coming out.
Yeah. But it's, like, still cool. I mean, I'm excited to see what happens with the game, but, you know, I'm definitely, like, I'm surprised how many people are just, like, falling onto the bandwagon with this. Yeah.
It was trending on Twitter for, like, 3 days. It was ridiculous.
It was, and there is all sorts of things and issues about how, because it shows the death of a little girl and how she turns into a zombie.
Blah, blah, blah,
That was what set me off about, like, that was... Like, the first time I watched the trailer, I was like, wow, that was good. But, I mean, I could have done without that. Because it's not only just, you know, a little girl turning into a zombie. It's like a little girl getting chased down, pinned down, dragged, and then, like, bitten into and her screaming for at least 20 seconds. I mean, it's pretty graphic. And
true, but that, you know, at the same time,
part of me that says I can't, I don't want that. I don't want to see that. No. Maybe that's like a sort of like a guy instinct in me. I have no idea. I just,
for me,
maybe it's because I have a little sister. I don't know.
It was. I mean, it wasn't any different from like what Walking Dead does.
Yeah.
So it's like.
I mean, it's just trying. I think that it's showing that, you know, that terror and you know.
And honestly, that's probably why it did so good. Is because it was that brave.
Yeah. So I really liked it in that regards.
Because it wouldn't have had that effect. It wouldn't have had any effect if it wasn't that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it could have been like a Left 4 Dead DLC, you know, on an island. You know. But I think that they decided to go into a different direction with it, and I hope it turns out for them.
Hard rock and zombie growls.
Seriously. So, yeah, not like a whole lot of actual news. I mean, the Telltale stuff's
pretty
sweet.
Yeah, that was a lot of stuff.
Telltale is pretty nice. I don't know, there was a trailer going around this week, and I'll send links to you guys. There was this Minecraft video.
Huh.
First off, well, you posted one.
Oh, the trailer, yeah.
That was the
diamonds. You're talking about the... Yeah.
I wasn't talking about that one, but that one was funny. But there was one where it's it's live action.
Yeah.
And it's these guys, like, dressed up in the boxes, and they're like, build a diamond gun, and they got a diamond pickaxe, and they're, like, trying to survive the zombie apocalypse, and, you know, they got, like, the CG zombies going on. It's a really good trailer, and there was another one I saw. What was it? It was never mind. Anyways, there's a lot of good Minecraft videos. That's the news.
that's the news. It's all about Minecraft.
Did you guys see? I should have mentioned this. Threat Level Midnight.
Nah, we just watched that this morning.
It's such a good episode.
It was really good. I thought last week's was better, but yeah.
PDA was funny. Threat Level Midnight, though, was like, I want that movie. Like, I want to own it. And it's sad that you could buy the episode on iTunes,
mm-hmm.
but if you want, like, the full movie without, like, anything cut out or anything, you have to be a season pass holder on iTunes. Which sucks.
It'll be on the DVD.
Like, it better be, because Eric, have you seen it?
No, I'm not a fan of The Office.
It's been really good this season.
If you're not a fan, it's a really, really good episode. And it's been a fantastic season.
Yeah.
Like, basically the whole series, Michael has been talking about how he's making a movie called Threat Level Midnight. And he finally finished it. And so the whole episode is, like, the cast watching this movie. And every time, like, somebody, like, comes into the movie that's, you know, part of The Office, they talk about, like, their role in the film and, like, how they got suckered into it. And, like, it brings back people.
Yeah.
Like, his old girlfriends and, like, Karen Filippelli. It's a really great episode.
Now, did you see Community this week?
I did not. Was that the D&D episode?
Oh, no. D&D was a few weeks ago. Community this week was, it was in documentary style, so it was poking fun at the other half of NBC's nightly lineup on Thursday.
Well, yeah. I mean, Parks and Rec started out as, like, a bad office sort of thing.
That's actually kind of funny now.
It got good. It got really good.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy watching Parks and Rec now.
Yeah. No, but Community this week was, like, every single week Community does something better than the week before, and I don't know how they're going to top themselves. They can't top this episode this week. It was just so funny. I mean, LeVar Burton was in it.
Really?
Yeah. It was really good.
The D&D episode, I watched that. That was actually pretty
good.
Yeah,
it was well done, too. It was respectful. It wasn't like, you know, I don't know. It was done well.
So I actually started to watch Community because of that.
They do good. I mean, it's a lot of inside jokes and blatant pokes at the industry as a whole. But
yeah,
and that's what makes it really funny. I love it.
Also, I noticed something this week. I talked a few podcasts ago when I started playing Heart Gold, or Soul Silver rather, that like the game is a lot harder than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I have proof now, because first off, I am at the point where I can fight Ash or Red, whatever you want to call him, on top of Mount Silver. His levels are higher than they were in the original game, and not only that, but Lance, the champion of the Elite Four, his three Dragonites, he has three Dragonites, and not only that, their stats are higher than they are physically allowed to be. Like, they are higher than the max for a Dragonite. Yeah. The game cheats. It is a cheating game. They made everything harder. I'm not crazy. These stats are out there.
Now, see, my issue, I've been trying to play Heart Gold again, and I sit down and play the last 2 days, and I'm stuck at the stupid gambling casino in, what's it, the town, the big town?
Goldenrod?
Hmm?
Goldenrod?
Yeah. Yeah, and
character's got a bit of a problem,
they only
it?
Have that one game. It's that Voltorb whatever.
It's basically like Picross with a little bit of luck.
It's Picross with a lot of luck. It's Picross, yeah. and Minesweeper without the, yep. Oh, there's something next to me.
It, without a guaranteed, like, you can figure it
wait
out.
Wait a second.
Like, sometimes you have to guess.
Yeah, no. It's...
but wait a second.
Wait a second. Is it Minecraft? Not Minecraft. Mean, is it Minesweeper? Like... Do the numbers actually relate to what's next to it?
Well, no. It's like, no, the numbers... So basically what it is, set up like a 5x5 square.
Yeah.
And it tells you how many Voltorbs are going to be on that row, which are like, if you hit one, the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
And then how many... there's like a x1 multiplier, a x2 multiplier, a x3 multiplier. And it tells you like...
The total of
the multipliers. So if you... So you can narrow it down, because the way to win is you just need to get all the x2 and x3 multipliers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you get a x1, it doesn't do anything.
I understand that. I'm just wondering if there's another layer to the strategy where...
No, there's no other layer.
Okay. Dang it. That's
a lot of luck.
It is a lot of luck, but I want the freaking Dragonite.
Dratini?
Is it a Dratini you can get straight up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dratini's a free. Okay, never mind.
Also, you get a Dratini later in the game, Caleb.
I want it now. No, I can cash out and get like the second level.
I can stop whenever I want.
No, I want to play
the
rest of that game. But
now you have no idea how many times I hear that.
I haven't gone. Like, I started up yesterday. I'm like, I'm gonna build up my team. You know, in case they do something like the Pokemon League at PAX Prime. I'm like,
they do. That's where it started.
Yeah, I'm gonna build that up and, you know, all that. And I haven't fought a single Pokemon battle because I was in Goldenrod. And I'm like, oh, there's the casino. Oh wait. They have a Dratini.
Yeah, I'm building up my team now. I'm starting to build a Lucario because I forgot how good Lucario is.
Mm.
And then I'm also going. I've got a Tangrowth going on.
Why?
That sounds weird.
It's an evolved tank.
Yeah. I know what it is. I mean,
and apparently it's like a good defensive grass type.
Okay.
So I'm enjoying that. And I don't know if I'm going to have a Rapidash. I'm not sure.
Rapidashes were my favorite.
I'm on a Rapidash.
But, like, there's also going to be more than 8 gym leaders. Like, they unveiled this week a Steel-type gym leader and a Safari Zone gym leader, which is focused more on, like, you know, sort of, like, rare, like, poison and grass types.
Mm. That's just so awesome to me. I want to set something like that up in real life, just out and about. Like, if someone comes up and challenges me to Pokemon, I'd...
Is this real life?
Dude, did I ever tell you that guy got pissed at me on Twitter?
What guy?
David After the Dentist.
What do you mean?
The dad? Okay, so I...
Wow.
I tweeted something a long time ago when I was, like, before Extra Life, about how, like, you know, the David After the Dentist, like, you look at the site and, like, all that merchandise is, like... kind of disgusting how it makes fun of the kid and, like, profits off the kid. And, like, so I made a tweet about that. And all of a sudden, I got an at reply from the Twitter account David After Dentist, and it's like the dad saying, yeah, well, we turned out to donate a lot of that money, and a lot of it goes to his college fund, and I think it's really great what you're doing with your charity stuff, but maybe you should be a little less cynical, asshole. And I was like,
nice.
Well, hold on a second, excuse me. Like, why don't you put out that data publicly. Whatever, dickhead.
Oh, that's funny.
Gotta love the internet. Should let him on your Minecraft server.
Maybe I will.
There you go. Maybe he won't blow shit up.
You would blow shit up, Gaylor. Yeah, come on. Admit it.
Why would I blow things up?
You would dig stuff up.
Nah.
You would do damage to the world.
What I would do is I would do what I did on Caleb's, is I would take a spot, I'd be like, this is my spot. I put a sign up, I'd be like, don't touch this.
Creepers,
my spot.
Don't blow
I'd
up.
Do whatever I want on there. That's what I did on Caleb's server, and that's what I'd do on anybody's server. Otherwise, it's kind of like, I'm not an asshole. Like, I don't blow other people's work.
No. I can attest to that. He's got a good reference.
I will say. He's got a good reference.
No, I don't go up to somebody's airship and poke holes in it.
50 million times.
I don't go up to to somebody's citadel and write penis on the roof.
Oh, man, there must have been so much more I did. Like, what else did I do?
I don't even know.
You did a lot. Like, I think when you found out about fire, you lit up half the forest.
For a while,
no,
I didn't let him have
you.
Fire.
I didn't light up half the forest. You did.
I didn't.
Yeah, you were going around with a flint.
Yeah, you were
steel.
Running around with flint.
I lit up a few trees.
You were
trees.
Trying to light Dan on fire, I remember.
Oh, I found an entrance to the thing here. Anyway. So, yeah. Like, I can't believe you think I'd do that, though.
It's
like, I never did that in anybody's server.
Yeah, it's kind of
maybe
kind of
I'll
a creep
let you
thing.
In.
Kind of a creep thing to do.
Maybe I'll let you in.
You should.
Say you love me, and I'll let you in.
I do love you.
Say you love me like you love...
I love you like I love men.
There we go.
Is that what you want to hear?
All right.
That's all I need.
We should probably end the show now.
Yeah.
All I need is that audio clip.
On that.
So.
Thanks. I've said worse. At least I'm not Caleb.
That's true. Caleb hates you, by the way.
Caleb hates me? Caleb hates everybody.
Caleb hates everyone.
I hate the world.
So, thank you for listening to Broken Embargo this week. If you like the show, you can check out older episodes or click the I Want More button on unnamedgaming.podomatic.com.
Or we'll never make another episode again. Ever.
Seriously, if you do like the show and you want to keep listening, just hit that button every week or so just to let us know that, hey, you're still listening, you still like us. You can also comment, like Murgatroyd, on each individual episode.
Like Billy.
Send an email.
You can be like Bill and you can send an email to brokenembargo@gmail.com.
It changed.
We changed. So it's not podcast and unnamedgaming anymore. It's brokenembargo@gmail.com. You can check out the Controller Throw podcast at controllerthrow.com. That's by Mikey and Benway. Or the Start Select Talk podcast, which Alex Jones is a part of. And, geez, what else? I'm trying to think.
Controller Throw's having a Halo all-nighter.
Oh, yes, they are. Controller Throw's having a Halo all-nighter on February 26th. Sadly, I won't be able to make that, but you guys might be able to?
I don't have Reach.
Well, Caleb doesn't have Reach or Xbox Live.
I do
Live.
Still have Xbox Live, because I still haven't sat down. I sat down for 2 hours on hold, and I'm like, I'm okay, whatever. I'll do it again some other day.
Can't you just, like, erase all your card details?
Nope. None of that. PSN, you log in, go to the account management, say, I don't want to renew anymore. Xbox Live, you got to sit on freaking hold for 2 hours and not get anybody, so they can go whatever. I'm renewing for $45, though, with that stupid deal, but I'm not happy about it.
But you're still
doing it. I'm not going to waste over 2 hours of my time on hold with these people. It's like, it's dirty. It's stupid.
I'd have thought that you could just...
Yeah, I think, too. You'd be able to go on and cancel your account with no, you know, ill effects. Because when someone finally does pick up, I know I'm going to be sitting on them with them for a half an hour of them trying to sell it back to me.
Really?
Yeah, it has to go through a person.
Well, right, but, like, I usually... Like, whenever I get on, like, I'd just be like, okay, I'm not going to do this and don't try to convince me otherwise.
Yeah, well, you can do that. They have a no quota, I'm sure. You have to say no 50 times.
Also,
and then...
My girlfriend's family, what they do is whenever they want something, like, they got an HDTV, but they didn't have HDTV channels. So her mom called the, DirecTV quit line, and that's all they do. Like, they have months upon months upon months of, like, Showtime, HDTV, whatever, just because they say they want to quit.
Wow.
So
that's what I... did I mention my thing with Sprint?
Yeah, I think you did.
Before, like, a few months ago, I called him saying, my bill's too high, I need to switch to a lower plan. The guy's like, all right, well, let's just lower your monthly payments. I'm like, okay. okay. And then this last few weeks or whenever the iPhone came out for Verizon, I'm like, all right, I'm going to switch to Verizon, try and get an iPhone, because I have horrible service up there right now.
Right.
And I called him up, and I'm like, and it does seem to be only, like, when you talk to the customer service, like, because I did the internet chat, and I'm like, you know, this is happening, and she's like, well, really, all we can do is we can reimburse you for your dropped calls, but that's about all we can. I'm like, whatever, how much is it going to cost? And then I called them, and they're like, well, we can send you out this device that'll boost your signal, and we won't even charge you for it. I'm like, yeah, go ahead and do that.
A device that boosts your signal?
Yeah, it uses, like, my Wi-Fi. It hooks up to my Wi-Fi router, and it basically creates a signal off of that.
Wow, that's cool.
So I have full bars in my house now.
Awesome.
That's fancy.
It is fancy, and I don't even have to pay for it.
So, check out Start Select Talk and Controller Throw, and as always, keep listening to us, subscribe on iTunes, and review. You can visit me on the web, danplaysgames.wordpress.com, Caleb at deathbychopsticks.com, Eric at the factory.
Eric at brokenembargo.com.
Yeah, get on making that.
By the way, you got a new job.
Oh yeah, I did get a new job.
Where was it? Because I didn't understand your Facebook status at all.
Oh, it's another factory job for right now, but it's in closer to Milwaukee, so the hope is that I can find something better being closer to a city.
Mm.
But still, a new job is a new job, and I'm no longer a temporary worker, which is a big thing.
I'm still temp.
A grill is a grill. I work at a convenience store, so.
Right.
Ba-dum-bum.
I am digging holes. Anyway, that's it for this week. We'll tune in next week to find out, you know, stuff.
If my computer crashes because a giant freaking explosion.
This is gonna be epic. All right, we'll see everybody later.
Bye.
And start. So we can't leave yet without mentioning Dan's progress on. Did you come up with a title yet?
I like how we just like freaked out in the chat. Like, oh wait a minute!
It was all calm.
Yeah.
I haven't named anything. No.
You haven't done. You forgot about it, didn't you?
I did not forget about it. I didn't name it.
Oh. So what did you do then?
So I definitely been using the XNA forums as my Bible.
Okay.
Good.
And I did get some of the basic, like, game... basically the main mechanics, which I was really, like, stressed out about earlier in the week, like, figuring out jumping. And first off, like, art. Like, my art is basically just MSP.
Oh, yeah. No shame there.
But it's like I basically got my jumping sort of physics down, which I think was like my biggest part that I wanted to make sure, because like that's the main part of a platforming game. And I guess this next week is just going to be all about making like the levels, because I've laid out levels on like designs of levels, and I've like sketched them out and stuff. But now it's like actually getting them to work.
So do you know are you going to have enemies or what, or is it?
I'm going. I mean, that's part of the, that's one of the rules,
okay.
And isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, let me pull up this sticky note. Where's my sticky notes?
Be curious how you set up your levels, though.
Oh, a way to fail. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there's if a level doesn't have enemies, then it's gonna have a way to fail, like be it like an environment sort of fail condition. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I'm going to be focusing this week on, is like getting the levels and the enemies down, and then the last final week is just going to be getting that start menu, the way to quit, getting the end, like the bookend mechanics down.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will that's warn you now that bookend mechanics, as you call them, could completely mess up the structure of the game.
Anything could completely mess up the structure.
You usually
want to
do those first, just so that you know what's coming.
Well, I'm different.
I'm just giving you warnings.
There you go.
Because, like, I realize right now there are states that I needed in my game that I didn't set up originally. I'm going to have to refactor a lot of stuff, but it won't be that difficult. But
right,
that's coming
so
from 2 years experience.
You have now, what, 2 weeks left?
Yes.
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 Sunday in two weeks. Because it was a...
It's like Majora's Mask where, like, the chime rings and it's just, like, black
except
screen
you
day
can't
two
go back. Like Majora's Mask.
Yeah, there's no back time in here.
Well, it's okay, because Majora's Mask sucked.
Shut him up now.
Anyway. So that's good. I'm still interested to see if you actually
get
this done.
Yeah, I want to know how it turns out. I'm curious.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. We're going to find out more next week.
I'm going to enjoy those cupcakes.